Wow. What a powerful worship we've had on this Father's Day. We have worshiped Father. We have declared his goodness, that he is a good, good Father, and that he has been faithful to us. He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, made us his children, and has blessed us and takes care of us, and has paid the price so that we wouldn't have to. Wow, what a privilege and honor to worship our Heavenly Father today. Amen. Well, welcome to Lots of Love Ministries on this Father's Day 2024. And we just are glad you could be with us. Today, I would like to share some understanding about the wilderness. But before I get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a good Father. We have entered your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. We are here to hear you speak to our hearts and to give us understanding into who you are and how we can live for you and what your plan is for us. You have a good plan. Plans to prosper us and give us a future. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We just want to honor you and lift up the name of Yeshua today as we learn. We sit at your feet and learn. Teach us, Holy Spirit. I yield my mouth as a tool of the Lord to teach, to bring understanding and encouragement to those who listen. Hallelujah. May the listeners have open hearts to receive from you truth and understanding and encouragement. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. You know, the Lord provides in the wilderness. But is that where you really want to be? We are told that we will have to go through the wilderness. Everyone goes through the wilderness at some point in their life, maybe more than once. However, what exactly is the wilderness? In the Hebrew mind, wilderness suggests an uninhabited place lacking any water. The Israelites certainly experienced a lack of water. Exodus 15:22 says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Then when they did find water, it was bitter." Exodus 15:23 tells us, "Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah." In Exodus 17, we read about how they were again lacking water, and Moses was instructed to strike the rock, and water poured forth, and the people had water. Again, they lacked water. And in Numbers 20, verse 8, it says, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." This is a prophetic picture that Moses messed up because he struck the rock like before and communicated a wrong message. This mistake was quite costly for Moses, as it kept him from entering the promised land. I could preach a whole message on just this, but I'm just going to drop a couple of nuggets here for you to think about. First, why did Moses get in trouble for striking the rock this time when before it was okay? Numbers 20, verse 12 says, "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Moses and Aaron trusted in a past success and sought to repeat it by striking the rock rather than speaking to it. Not only once, though, Moses was angry with the people. when he struck the rock twice. In this, they misrepresented God to the people and taught by example that things can be done in one's own strength. You can accomplish things by yourself. Then you leave God out of the picture, and that is never a good thing. So they set a bad example, and they didn't trust God and believe that and take him at his word, that if they just spoke to the rock, the water would come forth. No, they had to do it the way they did before, and even act out of anger. They set a bad example for the people. Also, Yeshua is the rock. The water is the word. We know this because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." You can't beat the Lord into giving you what you want. We are to ask. Speak to him respectfully in prayer. Yeshua taught us to ask in prayer, believing, and we will receive. See Matthew 21:22. It was the mercy of God that he honored Moses' action and water gushed forth. But Moses didn't sanctify the Lord before Israel, and his judgment was instant. We don't want to approach God with the wrong attitude. We don't want to try to manipulate or control the Lord. Amen? We want to ask in faith, believing. Whatever we have that we need, just ask. Father knows your needs, and he provides. He's a good, good father. Now, I'm going to share a traditional Father's Day passage, although I'm using it for a different point than is usually done. I'm going to bring out the phrase used in this passage, "cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." However, men, if husbands love your wives, speaks to you today, then by all means, listen to the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you need that encouragement to love your wives, maybe you need that little bit of exhortation and the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on your heart for a reason, make sure you listen to the Holy Spirit. The passage that I want to bring out and read is Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." See, there's that phrase. That's why we know that the word is, water. It represents water and the cleansing. And Jesus told his disciples that they were clean by the word that he had spoken to them. And this is so that he might present her, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So here we see in this passage that the word washes us. And Jesus told that to his disciples. So that's how we know that Yeshua is the rock and the water represents the word. I want you to selah, which means meditate on those nuggets this week under the guidance of Holy Spirit and see what other revelations or rhema words you get. Rhema means life changing. We want to get life changing words from our Heavenly Father. Amen. Now, let's continue today's study. After leaving Egypt, did you know that it took 16 months to get to the Promised Land for the first time? 2 months to get to Sinai, 12 months at Sinai, 2 months to the Promised Land. The Lord took them by this way because, according to Exodus 13:17, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. God led them the longer, safer way in his mercy and wisdom to build their faith and change their hearts. During this time, they were tested, failed, threatened, forgiven, given the law, priesthood was established and trained, and they built the tabernacle. God provided quail and manna and led them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. From this, we can learn that once you are born again, there is a period of testing, training, and teaching, and you will help build something for the Lord. There is a wilderness journey and an invitation to hang out in the presence of Yahweh to learn his ways. He will give you a project to do with others. The Lord will provide for you, but you are not yet in the promised land. This is a time to learn and be faithful. In Numbers 14, we see the Israelites facing the consequences of their disobedience and lack of faith towards God. They had finally come to the edge of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord had instructed them to send spies into Canaan. The problem came when the spies returned. 10 of them gave a harrowing account that scared them into rejecting the opportunity to enter in. Oh yes, the land is truly flowing with milk and honey. And look at this huge fruit we brought back. They also said to Moses and the people, but the people are strong with fortified cities and there are giants. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And at that report, the people became afraid and began to wail and complain and refused to go in to take the land. Joshua and Caleb tried to encourage them to believe the Lord and take the promised land. They said, guys, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But sadly, what do the people say? The people do. All the congregation said to stone them. They want to stone them because they encouraged them to go and take the land and enter into the promised land, the promise of the Lord with God's protection and God on their side. And they believed the Lord. But they just wanted to stone them for trying to encourage them to do what the Lord said to do. That's sad. Then the Lord said, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs that I've performed among them? Oh my goodness. God was extremely angry with them and frustrated with them. And he told Moses, I'm just going to kill them all and start over just you. How's that? Moses said, no. He interceded for them. You can't do that. What will the nation say? What will Egypt say? What will the people say that their God just brought them out here to kill them? No, you can't. You can't kill them. So the Lord relented, but they were punished for their unbelief. Instead of entering the promised land, they were condemned to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until every last one, 20 years and older, died in the wilderness. The wilderness is meant to be a punishment. But even in their disobedience, the Lord still provided for them. Since this is a Father's Day message of sorts, I guess. It's Father's Day, so I guess you can consider this a Father's Day message. Israelites' refusal to enter the Promised Land resulted in them missing out on the blessings Yahweh had in store for them. Father God, though, is faithful even when we are not. I just want to bring out the goodness of the Father on this Father's Day. He is a good, good Father. We sang about it in worship today. He's a good, good Father. Their lack of faith and disobedience led to them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, missing out on the abundant life that the Heavenly Father had planned for them and should have been theirs. But because He is a good Father, He still provided for them. The Lord's provision in the wilderness, despite the Israelites' rebellion, is seen clearly in that He did not abandon them. He provided manna from heaven, water from a rock, and protection from their enemies. Their clothes and shoes did not wear out either. That's pretty amazing. You know, my shoes wear out every few years. They wandered around in the desert, in the wilderness, for 40 years, and their shoes did not wear out. So even in the midst of their punishment, God's grace and mercy are evident. Some claim that the wilderness is a place of separation. I've heard it said that you can take the person out of Egypt, but you need to get the Egypt out of the person. Egypt represents the world. I believe this is what is meant by work out your salvation in fear and trembling. We need to get the world's influence out of us and be filled with the Spirit. The wilderness is a place for intense experiences such as testing, training, and isolation. It can also be a place for encounters with God, divine deliverance, and renewal. Going through the wilderness helps you get the Egypt out of your heart and defeat certain enemies with God's help. It can be a lonely place when you're going through the wilderness. You get lonely. But God lets you get lonely so that you can come to know Him as your friend. When you become frightened and worried, you learn to know Him as your peace and provider. God lets you discover your weaknesses so that you can learn to trust Him as your strength. In the wilderness, God reveals Himself. We should not be settling in the wilderness, though. While God may provide for us in the wilderness, it's not where He ultimately wants us to be. The wilderness is a place of testing and refining, but is not meant to be our permanent dwelling place. God's desire for us is to enter in to the promised land and experience the fullness of His blessings and promises. He came that we might have life and life to the full. We can learn much from the story of the Israelites. When the story began, they were living in Goshen. They had their basic needs met. They were slaves. When Yahweh judged Egypt, the Israelites appeared to have experienced the first three plagues, as is not until the fourth plague that Yahweh makes a distinction to keep the plagues from affecting Goshen. What we learn from this is that while dwelling in the world, you will have your basic needs met, and you may be protected by some, but not all the plagues. However, you are still in bondage. Just because you have everything you need, food, clothes, shelter, car maybe to drive, or access to public transportation if you're in the city, your needs may be met, but that does not mean you're living in the promised land. You might not even be saved. Most people have their basic needs met, especially here in America. The government will provide you services. If you don't have an income that you can afford food and medical care, and they'll even give you a cell phone with 100 minutes, I hear. So here in America, they will take care of you. If you're a citizen, you can apply for services. The 10th plague did not affect the ones with the blood on the door. They were protected from the 10th death angel. The message in this is to apply the blood to your life. Then you will be protected at a greater level. Only those who are born again can really apply the blood of Yeshua, because Yeshua died to set us free. So if you're going to apply the blood, get ready to be set free from your bondage, all bondages. You should be set free. Be ready to leave your old life behind. All things are made new. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. So what the Bible says, when you're born again and you apply the blood to your life by repenting and being baptized, come out of that water a new creation. And old things are passed away. All things are made new. Just as the Israelites missed out on the promised land, though, due to their lack of faith, we too can miss out on God's blessings if we refuse to trust in his promises. So many today are not living in the abundant life that God has for them because they refuse to trust in him. They don't listen. They may have what we call got their fire insurance papers, repented and been baptized. They may even be filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. They're still not experiencing the full life in Christ that we are meant to have because they've been taught wrong or they have fear ruling their life. They don't want to trust God. They want to trust the government more than God. We must learn to trust in God's faithfulness and step out in faith, even when the journey ahead seems uncertain and difficult. The Lord told them to enter and take the land. All they could see were big problems, giants in the land. You have heard the saying, what you focus on, you empower. 10 spies led the nation into focusing on the giants in the land, which caused them to feel small and insignificant. To themselves, they appeared as losers. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You think you're a loser, then you will be a loser. You think you're a winner, you'll be a winner. Amen. So let's be winners. We are victorious in Christ. What we should be focusing on and what they should have focused on is how big our God is. Our God is bigger than any giant. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Who cares who's against us? In other words, who cares if there are giants in the land? God is bigger than any giant. You have to remember that. Tell yourself, God is bigger than any giant. My God is bigger. My God is bigger. My God is bigger. And with Yahweh on our side, helping us fight our battles, we can't lose. We're victorious. Victory in Jesus. We used to sing that song growing up. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Remember that song? How many people know the old songs? We want to be like Joshua and Caleb, who were on a different spirit. We want to be like Joshua and Caleb, who were of a different spirit. Joshua and Caleb had their focus on God, not the giants. Their hearts were not divided between what they saw and the promise. We trust in the promise, not by sight. They trusted God when it just didn't make sense to those who feared. If you get in fear, you won't see what God has for you. We need to look through God's eyes. You know, Yeshua was able to endure the cross for the joy set before him. He saw past the cross, past the pain and suffering, to all the sons and daughters he was going to add to the kingdom. And for that joy, he endured the cross. What we must look past is the problem in our face to the victory beyond and the blessing that God has for us. God will fight our battles for us if we let him. Remember, the Lord provides for us in the wilderness, but he does not want us to settle there. He desires for us to enter into the promised land, to experience his abundant blessings and promises. Let us learn from the Israelites' mistakes and choose to trust in God's faithfulness, knowing that he will always provide for us and lead us into the fullness of his blessings. Our Heavenly Father's plan for us is a good plan. plan to prosper us and give us a future. Amen. Hallelujah. You can read that promise in Jeremiah. Plans to prosper us and give us a future. One day you will be led to your promised land. Will you trust the Lord and enter in? If you don't, you'll remain in the wilderness. All your basic needs will be met. Food, clothes, shelter. You may even worship the Lord, but you will die in the wilderness. You will not experience the whole blessing of the Lord. There's so much more that God has for us. Let's go after that more. Let's go into the promised land and defeat the giants. For those who choose to enter into the promised land, you will have new tests to overcome. A higher level of consecration will be required. And trust, a higher level of trust will be required as well. You will have enemies to defeat, giants to slay, while giving to the Lord what belongs to him. Remember, they went to Jericho and to Ai. And at first they said, don't take certain things. And they defeated into Jericho. They did what God said. And they defeated them. But there was one person in the nation. One person did not listen. He took what was not his, what was dedicated to the Lord. And they lost the battle at Ai. And once they dealt with that issue, then they were able to defeat Ai. So we must learn from these mistakes and not repeat them. If you are faithful and obedient and trust in the Lord, then the blessings are great. You will do more than survive. You will thrive. You will be a victorious kingdom citizen. So I want to close with this. It is good to be thankful for the Lord's provision. But if he is only meeting your basic needs, I'm sorry to say, you are not in the promised land. You are just dwelling in the wilderness. Because when you live in the promised land, he not only meets your needs, he gives you the desires of your heart. I encourage you, if you're going through a wilderness experience, go through. Don't settle there. Don't make the wilderness a permanent home. Continue your journey with an attitude of gratitude, trusting in your Lord and Savior, Yeshua. Get to your promised land and enter in. Take it and defeat those giants. Then become a blessing to others who are on their journey to their promised land. Allow God to use you to encourage others and grow as a kingdom citizen, advancing our Lord's kingdom in the earth. Amen. Well, that is all I have for you today. As always, if you have questions, comments, or wish to be baptized, email me at lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. Thank you for being here and listening to this awesome message. I pray you were encouraged to pass through your wilderness, complete your wilderness journey, enter into your promised land and take it, and live in the abundant life Yahweh has for you. Have a blessed and safe week. Until next time, Shalom.